This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. I'm here with Demetra George today, and we're going to talk about looking at politicians' charts using astrology and what some of the ancient astrologers have to say about that. Thanks for joining me today, Demetra.
Oh, hi, Tony. It's always a pleasure to connect with Astrology University folks.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And we Demetra and I kind of got talking about what to share in this podcast. And she has a webinar coming up December 7th, 2019, if you're listening to this before then, called Unknown Birth Times, What Can Be Said with Confidence, where she's going to spend a lot of time looking at Elizabeth Warren's chart, because Elizabeth Warren is a contender in the upcoming election cycle, but we don't have a birth time for her. So we thought, this kind of serve double duty, where we can look at Elizabeth Warren's chart, but also kind of point out what we can and can't say based on not having a birth time. So Demetra is going to lead us through that in the webinar. But today we'll talk about the special considerations, if any, that astrologers use when looking at the charts of politicians and leaders. So Demetra, do you want to just set that up for us and tell us a little bit about the background of that?
Yes, especially in the season now, leading up to the next presidential relationship. One of the favorite pastimes of astrologers is looking at the different candidates that are running and trying to use astrology to get a sense of what's going to happen and who's going to win. But this intimate relationship between astrologers and political leaders is something that goes back to the very beginning of the history of astrology. And really, for the first almost 2,000 years of astrology's history, the main and sometimes only client of an astrologer was the king. And the king wanted the advice of the indications of the stars so that he, or perhaps she, could rule the kingdom in accordance with divine intention. And so whether we go back to our earliest texts where kings would sleep in temples in order to get dreams about the arrangements of the stars for astrologers to interpret to them, or we have the Assyrian kings who had astrologers posted on top of all of the pyramid ziggurats throughout their empire, taking the indications of the stars every night and then having couriers run back to the king, giving them what the stars said so that they could rule and gauge their military campaigns and make all of their decisions. We have a situation where Alexander the Great was marching into Babylon, and the astrologers call out this message, hey, like, we've looked at the stars and you better not come in through our gates because that will be the end of your lifetime. And in fact, when Alexander did return and entered into Babylon, he caught some illness and did in fact die. We have Augustus and Tiberius and all of the first Roman emperors having their court astrologers, and Tiberius himself studied astrology. So likewise, they could evaluate the charts of potential rivals, and their rivals had astrologers looking at the charts of the emperors so that they could figure out their vulnerable times in order to stage coups or other changes of rulership. This tradition goes all the way up to that in our own current times of Ronald Reagan with his astrologer, Joan Quigley, who we discovered from speaking to a San Francisco astrologer who had one of the first computers, that she was generating two dozen charts every day for Joan Quigley to use in her advice to Reagan, of course, until it was discovered and then that whole scene had to end. So the point I want to make is that astrologers and political leaders have been very, very closely intertwined for thousands of years. But given that there were certain warnings that were issued against astrologers making predictions about the leader and especially the emperor. And this comes, what I want to share with you comes out of the work of Firmicus Maternus, who was a Hellenistic astrologer writing during the Roman Empire in Latin. And he has a list of advice that he's given to students of astrology, because his book is like a textbook, a manual. And he said, whatever you do, don't predict about the life or destiny of the emperor or the state of the nation. And then he qualified it and he said, the emperor alone is not subject to the course of the stars. And we have to wonder whether Firmicus's advice was, you're going to get in big trouble if you predict badly about the emperor and the things that you predict do or don't happen to him, and he knows about it. It might be like off with your head of shooting the messenger. And so, but he couldn't exactly say that. So he might have said, well, the emperor, because he is like a god, doesn't respond to the influence of the stars the way ordinary people do. So it's not worth your while to try and get into those predictions.
That's a really interesting idea. Why do you think they say that, that the charts of kings can't be interpreted the same as other charts?
Well, in reflecting upon that, some of my friends who are Vedic astrologers say that one of the guidelines there is that the chart of the king or the leader, the president, is identical with the chart of the country for the time period that that leader is the leader. And so the destiny of a nation becomes totally enmeshed with the destiny of its leader. And so sometimes things won't, influences that are in the natal chart of a leader won't necessarily manifest in that person's chart, but will manifest instead in the chart of the country. And Vedius Valens, another Hellenistic astrologer, he made this point. He said that the difficult planets, what they call the malefics, or Mars or Saturn, or the planets that cause problems and difficulties in our lives, that they don't work out in the charts of eminent or famous people in the same way that they do in the charts of ordinary people. But rather that they can, if they're in good condition or not, that they can contribute to the individual success, albeit at the cost to other people. That can be other people that are recipients of the problematical consequences of their own difficult planets, or that the events can be deflected or diverted to the environment or nature. So those are two interesting concepts in looking at the charts of politicians, that they may not be subject to the same guidelines as ordinary people are, that their charts are identical with that of the fate of the nation while they're leaders, and that their own motifs and patterns can be diverted or deflected onto the country instead of themselves.
Right, and you were gonna you'd looked at this a little bit yourself in terms of Trump during the Great American Eclipse, the last eclipse where the eclipse was on his chart, and you were gonna share something about that.
The eclipse was in late Leo, the solar eclipse, and conjunct his planet Mars, that was conjunct his ascendant. And so that was literally a red flag for many astrologers. of the ascendant is especially the physical body, and Leo is the heart, and Mars is the god of war, can symbolize an attack. And so some astrologers were wondering, could that signify a heart attack for the president? Okay, we're not supposed to make any predictions about his life, but that would have been a very simple and natural prediction. Or might have there been a military attack that happened because Mars is the god of war, or other kinds of Mars-related events. But as the eclipse came and went, at that time, we didn't really see any of those manifestations in Trump's own life. His health was fine. We weren't in blatant war with anyone. But what did happen was that within a week or two, the whole West Coast erupted in huge wildfires that went from British Columbia all through Washington and Oregon down into California and inwards. And of course, Mars is a principle of fire and inflammation. And the whole West Coast burned up. And then as that eclipse line went right across the middle of the country, we saw the floods that occurred in southern Texas, and we saw the hurricanes that occurred in Florida. And so that there were many manifestations in the physical body of the nation that correlated with the eclipse transits in the president's own chart. So the point that I want to make with all of this is, for all of us, when we are obsessing over the charts of who's running for president, and to understand that what we see may not directly manifest in the life of that individual, that the effects of that may instead or also or more readily be seen in the situation that happens with our country as a whole, that the fate of the nation is not separate than the destiny is read from the chart of our political leaders.
I was just circling back to some of the stuff with Trump around that time period. And I'm thinking about your comments earlier about the destiny of the nation tied to the destiny of the leader and the intermingling of those two charts. And I was just looking at a timeline of some of the things that he did in August 2017 and in that time leading up into in the months afterwards. And things were really heating up with all this talk of stuff at the border and immigration policy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actions were being taken around then. I think that's interesting given that the Mars was on his ascendant. Mm-hmm. And it could be that instead of looking for something to happen to him, it could be more fruitful to think about him sort of playing out the Mars in an active and aggressive way, which was definitely the case. And it was also around that time when he was talking with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Right. Yes. I think my friend Ronnie Dreyer had pointed out that Trump's Mars line circled from North Korea to Washington, D.C.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. So, do you think, you know, just thinking back on, I know that we astrologers have talked this one to death pretty much, but at the last election, there was kind of a bit of a scandal with the ESAR conference where a bunch of astrologers made predictions about who was going to win the election. And I'm thinking about that in terms of, you know, this webinar that you have coming up about what can we say without a birth time? And we didn't have Hillary's birth time. So do you think that astrologers were kind of making a mistake by saying too much with too much certainty about the predictions without having the birth time of one of the main candidates?
Well, I think that what we as a community need to be very aware of is how our own bias affects the nature of the interpretations that we give. And for people who wanted Hillary to win so bad, that, of course, the lens through which they looked at all of the things that they did were almost, I don't want to say predetermined, pre-oriented ahead of time to give her the advantage, because it was incomprehensible to think of the alternative. And that's why it's very difficult to, for astrologers really to do charts of people that they are close to emotionally in their relationships, that there's great attachment, because there are certain things that places that we can't allow our minds to go to. And so it filters how it is that we're going to interpret it. Sometimes I've joked with my girlfriends about our before and after analysis of potential partners. Right. At the beginning, like, you see all these trines that, oh yeah, we're soulmates. And then, like, you know, after the whole thing is, you know, exploded in disaster, it's, oh my God, why didn't I see?
Right. Okay.
So I think that that was one, partially what was going on during the ESAR panel with the astrologers. And then secondly, there was that issue, we didn't really have the birth time. And so without that birth time, we have to be very careful of what our strictures are. And there were some birth times that were being used in timing techniques that necessitated an exact time of birth. And afterwards was, well, did my, like, you know, great timing technique not work because it didn't, or because, well, I didn't have the right time of birth. Without knowing that, you can't even go there. Or if you do go there, you always have to keep in mind that it's completely speculative.
Definitely. Yeah. So, what's your advice to us? We don't know who the exact candidates are yet, but we do know that we don't have birth times for a whole lot of the potential candidates.
Right.
So it's very likely that we're going to be in the same scenario where we have a fellow with a birth time, and even Trump's birth time is disputed by some people, even though we have a birth certificate.
Right.
There's a little bit of weird, weirdness around that. But let's just pretend like, you know, we do have his birth time. It's likely that we won't have the birth time for whoever is running against him. Mm-hmm. What do you think, what's your advice to astrologers trying to do work around that in general?
Well, as I'll explain in the webinar, you cannot look at houses. You can't look at the rising sign. And you can't look at transits to the angles or the houses. That's like just for starters.
So, I mean, in general, wouldn't you say that
much of our prediction is based on transits to the angles? In fact, that's what all of rectification is based on, is transits to the angles. You can't do any of that. So you have to, like, blank all of that out before you approach the chart.
So would you say that it's true that you really can't say, make a definitive statement if you don't have the birth time?
Right. And it's surprising how much can be said within a certain range of possibility. I actually surprised myself once I started putting together my presentation. I said, whoa, I've, like, made a lot of really powerful statements here. And I didn't use houses or angles or transits at all. So there are ways, and especially looking at some of the themes of planetary condition that are not house dependent, there's a lot that can be extracted.
And then in the last election, also there was some talk around the fact that Hillary actually did win the popular vote. What's your thought on that with U.S. elections, on the popular vote versus the person that either gets voted in by the Supreme Court or by the Electoral College? Do you think that it just still, in the end, just matters who gets into the office?
Yeah, and I mean, that's what the Hellenistic astrology, one of the most popular titles for textbooks was Apotelesmatics. And that means, like, what happens in the end? What is the final outcome? And regardless of whether or not Hillary won the popular vote or not, the very final outcome was that Trump got the election.
Okay.
And so that's what the prognostications on the astrology about, and the final accounting, what is it that happens in the end?
Well, before I let you go, since we're talking about the upcoming election, I know I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but just in general, you and I have both looked at the transits that month in detail, because you're going to be doing a workshop in October of 2020. And we started looking at those charts together and we're like, wow, do we really have to do it in October? and then we realized, you know, that's the lead up to the election with mm-hmm. Mars retrograde and Mercury retrograde and all the aspects that Mars is making that month.
Mars Saturn squares. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think we're in for an easy ride with this next election?
No, I think that there will be the battle of all battles.
Yeah.
And when we did the 2020 summit, a number of astrologers spoke about the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that happens right after the election. It signifies a change in dynasty. However, that full change didn't come about, at least in myth, when Jupiter opposed his father Saturn. They had a war that lasted 10 years before Jupiter finally assumed the rulership. And so I think that this will be the precursor to a long and extended battle where the different dynastic forces are struggling for supremacy. And the lead up to the election will certainly be a preview of what's to come. That whoever is winning and losing won't do so without a huge fight.
Do you think we might have, I've been thinking this myself, do you think we might have a different turnout with this next election if we could somehow miraculously have the election after Jupiter and Saturn went into Aquarius instead of before, just before, when the planets are at like the 29th degree?
Well, I can't really go there because that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It just seems so interesting to me that we have such a big shift, like literally a month later after mm-hmm. the election.
It's the beginning of a big shift.
Exactly. Yeah.
Keep in mind, it isn't that day.
Yeah.
Wake up and the whole world is going to be different.
Because it's a 200-year cycle. So.
ultimately.
Yeah. So.
And because even in its smallest increment, the 20-year cycle, the halfway point is when Jupiter and Saturn are opposed, is when what was initiated at the conjunction is fully seen for better or worse at the opposition. It becomes most fully manifest.
Okay.
And we'll see how that particular conjunction and opposition figure in Elizabeth Warren's chart.
Because that's one of the things that you looked at?
That's one of the things I'm going to be looking at.
Oh, cool.
That we can look at it.
Well, we'll have to check in with you again after we have a Democratic candidate and see if we have a birth time and have another conversation.
Okay.
So thanks for joining me today.
Okay, Tony. It was fun. And I hope that some of you listeners will tune in and see what we can, the possibilities for Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, definitely. If you're interested in that webinar, head over to astrologyuniversity.com and you'll find it on the events page. And it's called Unknown Birth Times, What Can Be Said with Confidence. And if you're tuning into the podcast beforehand, the webinar is on December 7th, 2019. And if you're tuning into this podcast afterwards, you can just head over there and download it right now and listen in. So thanks so much for tuning in. And thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule, Demetra, to chat with us.
Okay. So long, Tony. It was a pleasure as always.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.